sound of your name. Jesus, there is none more beautiful than Jesus. There is none more powerful. The risen Christ lifted high. Jesus, now be glorified. The risen Christ lifted high. Jesus, now be glorified.
Hey everyone, my name is Andrew and I work with the youth here at Bridges. I'm excited to be able to welcome you to our service today, and I want to thank you for joining and being with us for worship. If you're new with us, I want to invite you to click the link on the side that says new, click here, in order for us to get connected, learn a little bit about you, and answer any questions you may have. Later in today's service, we're also going to be taking communion together as a church. So I want to invite you to pause and grab bread and juice in order to be prepared for that. Thanks again for choosing to worship with us today, and let's continue to worship together.
From north to south.
puts me in the fire. I'll rejoice cause you're there too. I won't be formed by feelings. I'll hold fast to what is true. If the cross brings transformation, I'll be crucified with you. Cause death is just a doorway to resurrection life. If I join you in your suffering, then I'll join you in your rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing, my song will be the same. Oh, Christ be magnified, let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified, let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me.
Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no
Thank you.
I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We were, by nature, deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself in love, as each part does its work.
The title of this message is Reset, as in return to factory settings, or disregard the unessential and reboot what is primary, because as separated and disjointed that we have been over the last year, it seems like it might be necessary to reset. Many of us feel still a little upside down, right? We probably hoped January 1st, 2021 would send us back to normal, and we're getting there, but we're not there. There's some schools are back in person, some aren't. If you're a student, especially if you are later in your high school career, you probably had all these ideas about what your year would look like, maybe what your prom would look like, what your activities would look like, what it would look like to visit colleges. And all of that has changed or perhaps been taken away altogether. Probably all of us, whether we are students or not, we have been splashed with a cold dose of reality that our whole world can change in an instant. Everything we've planned for, everything we have expected, it's really not in our hands. We understand now, in a very personal way, what James was saying when he wrote, "You do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." I think we grasp those words in a new way now. The only certainty is uncertainty. The only thing we can really count on is not being able to count on anything. That's the way a lot of us feel. Some of us are even asking, like, what are we supposed to do with ourselves now? Like, what am I doing with my life if I really am a mist that just vanishes and I don't really have much say in what happens in the world? If you want to get really dark and nihilistic about it, you're like, what's the point of anything? But even for those of us who are optimists, you might have been asking over the last year, am I even aiming for the right things in life? Or has all of this mess that we've been in, is it just a indication that I need to make some pretty big changes in what I do and what I pursue. You know, when what we have been building toward has been disrupted as it has, what now? While we're asking those questions about our personal lives, let's also ask, what's the point of church? Because people are asking this now too, right? Of coming here, sitting down, being a part of this group. What's the point of that? We've been online for so long. Do we need to come back? Or can I just listen to some podcasts and some K-Love and read my Bible and I'll be good? Or is there actually a point to what we're doing here in person? What we will see today is that the individual question, what we should do with our lives, and the church question are actually related. You know, we realize, oh, my life is a mist that vanishes and I can't really control what happens, so what am I doing with myself? And what is the point of church? Those questions are actually tied together. And if you answer one correctly, it gives you the answer to the other one. So let's look at our scripture for today. You probably noticed it's like the whole book of Ephesians. No, we're just, we're tracking along what Paul said about the church through four consecutive chapters. And as we look at these verses, we will see what the church is, why it exists, and how the church becomes what it is, because it isn't what it is yet. If you're confused now, maybe you'll get cleared up by the end. So first, what the church is. Collectively, the church is the body of Christ, verses 22 and 23. The church is the body of Christ, which as Christians, we can kind of flippantly throw around the phrase body of Christ without giving it much thought. But Paul is trying to get across something with that phrase that is so significant that he actually prays for his readers to understand it. Verse 18, he says, I pray the eyes of your heart might be enlightened to see this. He says, I know you might not understand this like right away, so I'm actually gonna ask for divine intervention that it might dawn on you what the church is. So let's go through his points. First, and this is probably the part that we naturally assume, but it's just the beginning. Paul gives us a picture where Christ is the head and the church is the body. So just from that metaphor alone, we'd assume the body carries out the desires and instructions of the head. The foot, for instance, doesn't decide to do something on its own. And if it does, you have some kind of spasm. We'd call that a malfunction, right? Something isn't working properly. We assume the head has control over everything that happens in the body. So if Christ is the head, he is in charge. He has authority over the body. The body ought to listen to what he says. Now that's not new, right? Paul probably wouldn't have prayed that the eyes of our hearts would understand what he was about to say if that was the only thing he was saying. But Paul continues. Astoundingly, he says, the church, the body of Christ, is the fullness of Christ. Verse 23. The fullness of Christ, the full weight of Christ, the full significance of Christ, the fullness of who Christ is displayed by the church, manifested by the church, represented by the church, is the church. The fullness of Christ is the church. In the verses just before this statement, Paul has described Christ. Christ is seated in the heavenly realms, he says. He is above every name, every authority, every power, both now and in the age to come. So no one is ever going to dethrone Jesus. The universe bows before Christ. And Paul says, you, church, you are the fullness of Christ. You are his body. That is who you are, collectively. That is your calling. And Paul says, may the eyes of your heart be opened so that you can see who you are. If you're feeling upside down after this last year, if you're wondering, why should I even try to climb the corporate ladder when it can all be taken away? If you're cynical or depressed, like, hear this, okay? Church, you are the fullness of Christ. You are the body of Him who is above every name, every authority, every dominion, both in this age and in the age to come, never to be dethroned. Christ is pretty full, and you are His fullness. Paul says there in Ephesians 2:6, he says, you are seated in the heavenly realms with Christ. So first Paul said, Christ is seated in the heavenly realms. And now chapter 2, he says, you are seated there with Him. Or 2 Timothy 2:12, Paul says, we will reign with Him. Or Romans 8:17, Paul says, we are heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ. That's who you are. It really puts any earthly setback in its proper context, right? Because my true identity, what God has for me, those are secure. The hope to which He has called us, right? This is what these verses say. The inheritance He will give us, the power He has for us, verses 18 and 19, never in jeopardy, solid, unmoving. That is who you are. That is the body of Christ. Okay, now, if that weren't weighty enough already, why does God elevate us like this? Like, why does the church exist? Why did God make us the full, as the church, as the body of Christ, why did He make us the fullness of Christ? And a little hint before we look at this, the ultimate reason behind why God ever does anything is not for you. Although we get a benefit out of it, that's not the ultimate reason. Ultimately, God does what God does for Himself. Otherwise, He would be an idolator, right? Idolatry is having something primary in your heart that isn't God, having the base of your emotions be anything or your motivations. The base of your motivations be anything other than God. Like if you're motivated by money or power or approval or security, if those are the bottom drivers of your actions, idolatry, right? The bottom driver should be glorifying God, obeying God, celebrating God, thanking God. Those are what should be primary in our heart, right? That's commandment one out of the Ten Commandments. And the same is true for God. God is always primary in God's heart. You certainly wouldn't want God prioritizing something else, right? Like, what does God look up to? Who does God serve? Who does God listen to? Who does God obey? Who does God worship, right? Who does God want to glorify, right? If He elevated some created thing to the place where only He belongs, He would be an idolater. No, we don't want that, right? God should be primary in God's heart, and He is, because He follows His commands. So coming back to our question, why does God give the body of Christ such an extravagant inheritance? Why does He make us the fullness of Christ? Why does the church exist as it does? It's verse 10 of chapter 3. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. That's why. It's not primarily for us. It's to make known His manifold wisdom. Like God is showing off to everybody, all the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, to every inch of the universe and beyond the universe, back up to chapter 1. Remember, Christ fills everywhere, and we are His fullness, right? So the church is being used to show Christ everywhere. It's very similar to what we read in chapter 2 as well. We deserved wrath, but God gave us grace and seated us in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. And we're like, awesome, we got grace. We're sitting in heavenly realms for Christ Jesus. Like, good for us. But Paul says God did that, verse 7, in order that, here's why he did it, here's why God elevated us, gave us grace, seated us in the heavenly realms, that he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. It's not for you. It's to show something about God. I mean, we got a great benefit out of it, right? Like, hallelujah. But ultimately, God seated us in the heavenly realms and gave us this incomparable grace to illustrate something about himself. God is like, look at the church. Like, hey, everyone, get in here and look at the church. He's grabbing angels, all the authorities in heavenly realms. So he's grabbing Satan, I suppose. He's directing the attention of the whole universe to the church. And God's like, you want to see what I can do? Look at the church. You want to be astounded by my manifold wisdom? Look at the church. You want to see my incomparable riches, which I give to them in grace? Look at the church. He's like, I brought these guys from zeros to heroes. They were the objects of my wrath, but I made them alive with Christ and seated them in the heavenly realms with Christ. They were totally lost in their sin, but I gave them grace. I created them anew. I gave them the fullness of Christ. This dilapidated, sinful mess has become the fullness of Christ. And then I sent them out there to do good works in my name, Ephesians 2:10. God says, if you want to know my manifold wisdom, look at them. That's why we are who we are. That's why the church exists, to display the greatness of God. Now, the obvious response to what we are and why we exist is that we aren't there yet, right? Like, we're way closer to zero than we are to hero. So how does the church become what it is? How do we get there? The answer in this passage is through the church. We, the church, become what we are called to be through the church. You might say, no, it's not the church. It's God working in us, Dan. Philippians 1:6, he will complete the work he began in us. Or Jude 24, God will keep you from stumbling and present you as blameless before his presence. So it's not the church, it's God. God does it. Well, if you're thinking that, you are partially right. It's definitely God, even in what we read today, verse 16. From him we grow toward what we are. Christ is the head. He is directing us. From him we grow into what we are called to be. But that's not the whole story. That doesn't tell us how God grows us. And disclaimer, obviously, God uses everything to grow us, like joys, sorrows, ups, downs, victories, defeats, relationships, and the lack of them. He uses everything to form us. But here, Paul tells us, in our Ephesians verses, God grows us to what we are called to be through the church. That's really verses 11 through 16 of chapter 4. God gives these different roles to the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and attain, this is verse 13, may attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's the same language as before. You know, chapter 1, he said, church, you are the fullness of Christ. And now he's talking about here how we attain the fullness of Christ. And how we attain the fullness of Christ is through being built up in the local church. Through the leaders God gives us, verse 11, through our own acts of service, verse 12, through speaking the truth in love to each other, verse 15, through each part doing its own work, verse 16, we become what the church is called to be. You can't be disconnected from the church and expect to grow into what God has for you. Just like you can't disconnect one part of your body from the rest of your body and expect that part to grow with the rest of the body. Like my sons, who are 8 and 4, they always want to measure how tall they are. They want to hold their hands up to mine, right, to see how big their hands are. They're so excited to like stand on a chair and be taller than me. And one day in the future, they may really be taller than me. Their hands might be bigger than mine someday because they're going to continue to grow, right? Their arms, their legs, their hands, their feet, their brains, their ears, it all grows. They all grow, all those parts grow together. Now, what would happen, and please don't call child services because we would never do this, obviously, but what would happen if we were to disconnect one of their arms from the rest of their body? Would that arm continue to grow? At first, let's be honest, it wouldn't seem to affect growth much at all, right? We disconnect it from the body. And at that moment, it's still pretty much identical to the other arm, right? So you might think in that moment, oh, just disconnecting from the body is fine. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, maybe the arm would even say, I actually feel more free. I can go where I want to go. I'm not bound to this silly body anymore. I bet I'll actually grow better disconnected from the body than I did when I was connected to the body. It won't be holding me back anymore. I don't have to deal with these other parts of the body that I don't really like I'll be free. But how's that going to turn out for the arm? We come back 5 years later and compare the disconnected arm to the connected arm. Which one will have grown? Which one is going to be healthy? Which one is going to be full of rot and decay? It's really important to stay connected to the body, to a church body. If you've had it with this church for some reason, you're probably not listening to this, but no hard feelings. Wish you the best of luck, but don't bail on church altogether. You will not grow as you should if you are disconnected. And listen, you need to be connected enough where people actually know you. You have to be participating in a local church. Not just like, oh, I'm a believer in Christ, so I'm part of the church universal. Not that. A local church. In this passage in verse 15, in the church, we speak the truth to each other in love. We call each other out. We correct one another. That cannot happen unless you are connected enough where people actually know you. Right? If you're just watching church alone at home, no one is ever going to speak the truth in love to you. And you won't do that for anyone else. And speaking the truth in love obviously isn't always comfortable, but it is necessary for our growth. Right? Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. That's the way it works. Iron doesn't become sharp on its own. You have some iron just waving around in the air, not running into anything else, right? That doesn't sharpen iron. Iron needs its counterpart. It needs to be scraped and confronted. We each have a role in sharpening others, and we have a need for others to sharpen us. And that happens in a local church. You think you and Jesus in a podcast are somehow going to run into another Christian at Trader Joe's so you can just sharpen each other? Kind of just on the spot in the moment. Come on, right? This passage is talking about the local church. It's talking about a body to which God gives pastors. Verse 11. Growth happens through being connected to a local body of believers who you know, who you serve with, who you sharpen, and who you are sharpened by. If I haven't convinced you yet, Ultimately, listen, if the church is what God uses to display the fullness of Christ, why would you want to be anywhere else? If the church is what shows God's manifold wisdom to the whole universe and to the whole spiritual realm, why would you want to opt out of that? So let's circle back to the questions we ask at the start, right? Like, what am I doing with my life, and what's the point of church? There's really one answer. By connecting to and participating in a local church, you are contributing to the display of God's manifold wisdom. You are part of a body that is the fullness of Christ. Christ is the head over all creation, and you are his body. Do you feel the weight of that? The glory of that? The honor of that? The richness? The importance? If you have been suffering with purposelessness over the last year, this is a purpose that isn't affected by circumstances. It can't get taken away from you like so many other things have been recently. And honestly, it outshines any other purpose you could have. Anything else you could live for, even if it's a really fantastic thing, it cannot compare to the incomparable inheritance God has for you, being the fullness of Christ, which he uses to display his manifold wisdom and richness of his grace to all of creation, right? Nothing else is as amazing as being part of the body of Christ. If you are not currently really participating in a local church, serving, being known, getting sharpened as you sharpen others through your relational connections. Now, right now, is the time to do that. You're invited. Come join the messy progression that is us as we move toward displaying the manifold wisdom and riches of God's incomparable grace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the church. Thank you for making us Christ's body. Thank you for giving us such a prominent place, which is all of grace, Lord. We are delighted that we get to display something as magnificent as you to all of the universe. We pray that we would be in awe of where you have placed us, Lord, in the heavenly realm, seated with Christ Jesus. Father, may we all jump in and serve and be part of building up this body, that it might be what you have called it to be. We pray those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I come. I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh.
Christ in me. temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand up, fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. When I cannot stand up, fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
That song has so much truth in it. It's a reminder of what Jesus said to his followers in John chapter 15, where he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's so true. We can do nothing apart from the Lord and his mercy and his grace and his divine help in our life. And one of the ways that we can remind ourselves of that is by the act of taking communion altogether. In just a moment, I'm going to give you the opportunity to go grab the elements if you haven't done so already, to go grab the bread and the cup. But I just want to remind us of what Scripture tells us about taking communion. And this is such an important thing that whether you're watching this on your own or you're with others, that as Pastor Dan shared, we are the body of Christ. The church is not simply a building. And we as the family of God are called by the Lord to remember what Jesus did for us. We're to often reflect upon Jesus' great sacrifice, his making himself a substitutionary sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sins. And so communion is a time for us to look back, to think about what Jesus did for us. It's also a time for us to look within and to ask God to cleanse us of all unrighteousness and to forgive us of our sins. And 1 John 1:9 promises that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But it's also an opportunity whenever we take communion to look ahead, to think of the future and the future return of Christ and being reunited with him. And so when Jesus gathered his followers the night before he was crucified, the night that he ended up being arrested, we're told in 1 Corinthians 11 by the Apostle Paul that what Jesus did is he took the bread and he gave thanks for it and he broke it. And he shared it with his followers, and he said, eat this bread, because this bread is a symbol of his body. And so as you take this bread today, we remember the body of Christ, and we're to take it in remembrance of him. And then with the cup symbolizes the blood of Jesus that was spilt for you and for me. And Jesus took the cup, and he shared it with his followers, just as we are to remember again Jesus giving his life for us, that this cup represents the new covenant, the new relationship that we're able to have with God that Jesus makes possible for us. So you are going to have the opportunity to take communion on your own. We're going to just have a slide here that's going to allow you to either pause or to just reflect on your own. We don't want you to rush through it, but you are going to take communion on your own. I'm going to pray here in just a moment over these elements as you take them. But as we take them, let's remember not only our part in the body of Christ, but ultimately remember the body of Christ, Jesus, giving his life for us. And we never want to take these elements in an unworthy manner. We want to do so with great solemnness and great humility and gratitude in our hearts. So let me just pray over these elements, and then you can take them on your own when you're ready. God, I want to thank you for the gift of relationship with you, and we thank you for providing a means for us to always be reminded of Jesus' body and blood, knowing that this bread represents Jesus' body, knowing that this cup represents and symbolizes his blood. We give thanks. Thank you for his sacrifice, and may we never, ever, ever forget. May we never be ungrateful. Thank you for providing the lamb that we needed, a perfect lamb, unblemished, who gave his life for us and became sin on our behalf so that we could be made right with you. Lord, we take these elements with gratitude and for your glory. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for having joined us for today's service. We're so glad that you could. We have a couple things that I want to talk about in terms of next steps and things to be thinking through. One is we're excited about our upcoming regathering in person indoors that I want to remind you about if you haven't heard about that already. That's going to come up here in a couple weeks on Sunday, May the 16th. And so you're going to want to pay attention to that kind of information. You can go to our website at connectbcc.org. We're going to have one service that day at 11 a.m. indoors, and we'd love to know that you want to be a part of that. And so you'll have the opportunity to RSVP in advance so that we make sure that we're doing everything we can to accommodate all those who come and to make sure that we gather in all the right ways. But we're excited, and we hope that you'll be praying with us and along for us as we look ahead to May the 16th. Also want to let you know that we really, really enjoy sermon questions, things that you can submit to us if any time that Pastor Dan or I or one of our other speakers happens to share a message, if a question surfaces in your mind, we want to know about it. And so you'll find an easy button on today's webpage at connectbcc.org, and you'll find a little button there that lets you submit one or more questions, and then Pastor Dan will do his best later on in the week to address one or more of those questions as they come. So thanks so much for submitting those. Also want to remind our Bridges Community Church family, our regular attenders and church family, that we always encourage people to, in an act of worship and gratitude, give their tithes and their offerings, and we want to provide a way for you to do that online. And so you'll find an easy, handy button there on the website, again, connectbcc.org, that allows you to give securely. And we're grateful for those tithes and their offering, your offerings, because it just furthers the ministry that we are seeking to do here in obedience to the Lord. But it, again, I just want to remind us that this is an act of worship, because the Lord owns it all, right? All that we have belongs to the Lord. And so we give thanks to Him for that. Also want to let you know that we have something that we as a ministry team are thinking about in the not too distant future, about doing a teaching series on the subject of evangelism. And I know many of us hear that subject and we're like, oh no, okay, I'm going to check out on that one. I'm not an evangelist. You're not an evangelist. And we kind of, okay, I'm not interested in something like that. But honestly, each of us by the Lord are called to share our faith as God opens up doors. And it's a lot easier and less terrifying than I think many of us might think. And so we as pastors are interested in hearing from some of you as we're putting together this teaching series that's going to take place A few months from now, we are doing a series of conversations, even right now, that you can participate in that lets us know what's on your mind. You're not committing to anything. You're just simply coming to be a sounding board so that we can know what is on your heart and what you are interested in learning about so that we can incorporate that into our teaching series. We have two more opportunities to gather, and May the 5th and May the 12th, we have two different Zoom sessions. You can pick one of those two at 7:30, from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m., and you can find out all about that if you are part of our church newsletter that gets sent out every single week. It goes out on Tuesdays. And if you're not part of our church newsletter list, we'd love to include you. So just send us an email if you're not already on that list, and then we will add you to that list. You can email us and say, hey, I'd like to be a part of that. But you'll find some details there about a couple upcoming opportunities to let your voice be heard about our upcoming evangelism series. Again, those two Zoom conversations will be on May the 5th and May the 12th from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. And I know Pastor Dan would love to hear from you all on that. And you can get the Zoom login details by going to those pages there on the church newsletter. So thanks so much for having joined us today. We really honestly hope that this has been an encouraging time for you and a time that you felt better connected to the Lord. If there's something that we can do as a church family to pray for you, please don't ever hesitate to let us know. It's such an honor to be together in this way. We hope to see you in person on the May the 16th when we're gathered back together in person. And if not, we're going to continue to do these online services, and we're grateful that you're a part of these things in any way. I hope that you have a great rest of your week. Goodbye, everybody.